Let's go to Joshua chapter 6, amen? You are able to stand. Please stand for the reading of the Word of God today. If you don't have a Bible in your hand or on a device, amen, we have it on the wall here. Praise God again. It's good to have everybody this morning. Thankful for you. Truly mean that, amen. We love you, amen. Lynn and I love you this morning. Praise God. But we're going to get into the Word today. Joshua chapter 6. Verse 8. We're going to read quite a few scriptures this morning, amen, but we're going to just go into what the Lord has laid upon our heart, amen. Praise God. I tell you what, with all of the Word that was preached through the camp meeting, there's a whole lot, amen, that God could just reveal and speak, but we're thankful today, amen, that He is, amen, led us here this morning. Joshua 6, chapter 8. Everybody have it, say amen.
Amen.
I was pretty weak. Everybody had it. Say amen.
Amen.
There we go. And it came to pass when Joshua had spoken unto the people that the seven priests bearing the seven trumpets of the rams' horns passed on before the Lord and blew with the trumpets, and the ark of the covenant of the Lord followed them. And the armed men went before the priests that blew with the trumpets, and the rearward came after the ark, the priests going on and blowing with the trumpets. And Joshua had commanded the people, saying, "You shall not shout nor make any noise with your voice, neither shall any word proceed out of your mouth until the day that I bid you shout, then shall you shout." So the ark of the Lord compassed the city, going about it once, and they came into the camp and lodged in the camp. And Joshua rose early in the morning, and the priests took up the ark of the Lord, and seven priests bearing seven trumpets of ram's horns before the ark of the Lord went on continually and blew with the trumpets, and the armed men went before them, but the rearward came after the ark of the Lord, the priests going on and blowing with the trumpets. And the second day they compassed the city once, returned into the camp, so did 6 days. And it came to pass on the seventh day that they rose early about the dawning of the day, compassed the city after the same manner 7 times, only on that day they compassed the city 7 times. And it came to pass at the 7th time, when the priests blew with the trumpets, Joshua said unto the people, "Shout, for the Lord hath given you the city, and the city shall be accursed, even it and all that are therein, to the Lord. Only Rahab the harlot shall live, she and all that are with her in the house, because she hid the messengers that we sent. And you in any wise keep yourselves from the accursed thing, lest you make yourselves accursed when you take the accursed thing and make the camp of Israel a curse and trouble it. But all the silver and gold and vessels of brass and iron are consecrated unto the Lord, and they shall come into the treasury of the Lord." So the people shouted when the priests blew with the trumpets, and it came to pass, when the people heard the sound of the trumpet, the people shouted with a great shout, that the wall fell down flat, so that the people went up into the city, every man straight before him, and they took the city. Amen. We're going to blast the shofar. We want you to give the Lord a shout of praise for His Word today. Come on, let's bless Him. Amen. In this place.
Hallelujah.
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 Hallelujah. Simply minister on this thought, breaking the silence. Look at your neighbor and say, breaking the silence. Amen. This is very familiar, amen, scripture, very familiar story. We preached here many, many times, referenced it probably more times than we preached. Amen. But hallelujah, this is where the Lord has directed my spirit this morning. And we know that God had given Jericho to Israel. We understand that as part of God's promise to them. We know God brought them out of Egypt. wilderness, amen. And there was a generation that, amen, that died away in the wilderness, and a new generation had risen up, amen. And God had called Joshua to replace Moses as the leader of the people, amen, of Israel, to lead them into the promises that he had spoken and given them when he brought them out, amen. And so we know that at this point they had crossed over the Jordan River, and now they had come to Jericho, and the Bible tells us that God had given Jericho to Israel, including the king and the king's warriors. So everything, amen, there had already been given to them, but Jericho had to be overcome in order to continue possessing the promised land. See, there are a lot of folks, amen, that let's say will attend, amen, camp meeting and revivals and different things, and they will get to a point, amen, in the divine destiny that God has over their life. They'll get to a place, amen, where they are farther, amen, in their relationship with the Lord than they have ever been, developing, amen, a greater understanding of who God is and what the Lord is in their life, amen. But then they come to some things, amen, that they need to overcome. See, sometimes we think that God's just going to release everything to us that he's promised, amen. But as we know, amen, from the last several months of preaching and ministering here, what we've heard from the pulpit, amen, and so greatly, amen, during the revival, the camp meeting, how that God just confirms so much, amen. Praise the Lord. I tell you what, when amen, Brother Dave McKell said, I want you to turn to Job chapter 23, amen, verse 8, praise the Lord. I just ministered, amen, last month from those very scriptures, a different perspective, amen, but I thank God, amen, that he can help us and lead us, amen, into that place. But we understand that some things have to be overcome to continue possessing the promised land. See, it's not about, amen, what we can gain from serving the Lord. It's not about what we can claim that is ours and the blessings materialistically and say it like that. But it is all about developing a deeper revelation of who God is and developing, amen, experiencing and understanding a greater love of the Father. Everything that God does is to bring us into a deeper relationship with him. And the deeper the relationship we have with him, the more, amen, that we are going to be able to be that example, amen, unto the lost and dying world, and ultimately that is our great commission. Amen. But we see, amen, that Jericho was one of the most fortified and strongly defended cities of that region. It's interesting, amen, that, you know, 40 years earlier, there were spies that were sent from Israel to survey, amen, Jericho. So we know, amen, that they knew what was on the inside. But what's interesting about Jericho, I think a lot of times when we think of the walls, and you know, we've talked before how, amen, it's at sea level and all of those different kind of things. But what's interesting about Jericho, amen, is it really was not a big city. Amen, Jericho was only about 7 acres in size. Now, this property is 10 acres. So Jericho, amen, was smaller than this house, this place from the street, from High Street, back to the edge of the field. Amen, Jericho was only about 7 acres. But it was completely shut up because of the children of Israel. The gates were fortified and the city was completely shut down because of Israel. The Bible says no one left and no one entered. Amen. Praise God. They halted all of their daily activities. Why? Because they heard, amen, that Israel was pursuing the promised land. They heard that Israel, amen, was coming, and they knew that they possessed, or they, amen, inhabited what belonged to Israel. We understand Amen. They went over into Jericho that they told Rahab. Rahab said, you all have got the city in turmoil. It's the talk of the town. Everyone is afraid because they have heard about what your God has done for you. They've heard the story about how you were brought out of Egypt. Hallelujah. How many of you knows? Amen. Exactly what God done for you. See, my experience in salvation and my deliverance and my freedom is different than yours. But I know, amen, where I was. I know where I should be. Amen. And I know where I could be if it was not for the grace and the power and the anointing of the Holy Ghost. But I'm not there today because I know where I was. That's why I don't give an account to anyone but the Lord for my freedom. Amen. So if I, amen, want to shout, I'm going to shout. If I want to dance, I'm going to dance. If I want to testify and tell somebody, look what the Lord has done, then I'm going to do that. Are you with me this morning? Hallelujah. You see, it wasn't as big. I think we think that Jericho was this great, big, large city because we picture it as something, amen, that was almost impossible to overcome. See what you got to understand, hallelujah, that we're in that time, amen, hallelujah, that the enemy had to halt his everyday activity, amen. There were things, amen, that they needed to do, that they had planned. There was, amen, aspects of the city that required people to leave and required people to come back, amen, but they had to shut it all down because of the prospect of the children of Israel. Can I tell you, I believe that where we are right now in, amen, the spiritual atmosphere, in the place of our culture, and in, amen, where we are in this, amen, in time release, I believe, amen, that we are at a place where the enemy has had to shut down or halt, amen, his everyday activity. See, I believe that we can be in a place of revelation and understanding. You know, see, the anointing is talked about, amen, so much that we have become a desensitized to the true anointing. Everybody under the covenant is anointed. But let me tell you what, the enemy knows, amen, who understands who God is. The enemy knows who they are in Christ. Are you hearing me? He's not impressed with our preaching. He's not impressed with our education. He's not impressed with our gifts and our talents. But when we get up in the morning and we know to whom we serve, when we rise up, as he preached on Friday night, when we rise up and understand what we're rooted in, hallelujah, that's when the enemy begins to recognize, oh, I can't do what I did to them, amen, in the past. They've got, amen, they've crossed some things. They've went through some stuff. Amen, the children of Israel had crossed the Jordan. Amen, praise the Lord. It was nothing like crossing the Red Sea. But nonetheless, they had to cross over it. Anybody in the house this morning, hallelujah, especially after this week of camp meeting, that will say, I've crossed over some stuff, I've been through some things, hallelujah. Oh, listen to me. And when we get to that place, amen, the enemy says, what use to get them discouraged is no longer effective, hallelujah. What use to keep them, amen, at bay is no longer working. What used to keep them from lifting their hands and giving God praise is no longer effective. What used to keep them out of the secret place every day because the Word of God, revelation, and strategy has caused a delay in the enemy's agenda. I'm going to say that again. Some of you get it, some of you don't. The Word, revelation, and strategy has caused a delay in the enemy's agenda. This is spiritual warfare, folks.
You know it.
You know, I say it all the time. Everything's spiritual. Amen. Praise God. The devil don't cause everything. He don't cause your coffee to spill, amen, or that person to cut you off or cause your tire to be flat. Hallelujah. But how you respond to that will sure make a difference. Amen. Praise the Lord in your spiritual awareness. But understanding, you see what I'm saying? And we've been hearing a lot, amen, this summer from this pulpit, and we heard it again confirmed. Amen. During camp meeting, I'm so thankful I don't have discussions with the, amen, the visiting evangelists. We don't, when we go, amen, and fellowship, we don't talk about stuff like that. Hallelujah. We, amen, we talk about the goodness of the Lord and, amen, other stuff. But I don't ever, amen, divulge and talk like that, so that when the Word of God comes forth, amen, when the gifts, amen, and operation of the Lord begins to speak, you can be confident, amen, that it's the Lord. Hallelujah. Because it sure seems like, amen, I said it on, amen, the other day, it's been a sobering summer. I love fall, but I'm ready for fall more now than ever. Hallelujah, because it's been like Job said. Hallelujah, I go forward, and he's not there. I go back, he's not there, to the right and the left. I know that God is there, but he's silent. Amen, he's not speaking. Hallelujah. And there's been some struggle. Amen, there's been some intensity in the warfare. There's some things, hallelujah, taking place. But I'm so thankful. Hallelujah. Amen. Instead of it driving me down, it can drive us up. Amen. Are you with me today? Hallelujah. Amen. So we, the Word and revelation and strategy has called the delay. Amen. And the Canaanites were terrified of Israel. Because you see, God said, all right, Joshua, Moses is gone. Now it's time to get in there. Joshua's one that had the vision of the Lord incarnate that said, I'm the warrior. I am the captain of, amen, this army, and I've got this battle. I wish you touch somebody and say, the Lord has got this battle. The Lord has got this battle. They were terrified, amen, of Israel. Praise God, but God reminded Joshua that he had given him Jericho. That's past tense. That means it's already done. What he has to do is just be obedient and take what already belongs to him. So many people are trying to work their way to breakthrough. So many people are trying to work their way, amen, to victory. Don't you understand that it's already been born? It's already been accomplished. But if you'll take the next step, we preached a few weeks ago, breakthrough is not your next miracle and your next victory. Breakthrough is your next step. Because every time you take a step, it's the first step into the next, hallelujah, miracle. Every step you take, hallelujah, the righteous go down seven times, but they get back up. Every time you take a step, hallelujah, the enemy, amen, begins to get nervous. Every time you should have been down, every time you was down, and you should have stayed down, but you got up. The enemy knew that you weren't giving up. I'm just looking for about three or four in the house of seven. That's if I got a man of mind. Hallelujah. Others are going to do what they're going to do. But as for me and my house, we are going to serve the Lord. Hallelujah. And with me, I'm just laying a foundation. It's already yours. Don't you ever say it's yours?
It's yours.
It's yours.
See, it wasn't the stuff
in Jericho.
It wasn't the spoil. Or as the Bible calls it, booty. It always makes everybody giggle. But it wasn't the stuff that was in Jericho. But it was the territory. Because the stuff belonged to the Lord. If I can put it in heavenly terms, God said the first fruits belong to me. This is just the first of many, hallelujah, breakthroughs that you're going to experience. I just need you to step in it. Are you with me? So it wasn't the stuff. See, we get so many times, and unfortunately, amen, in the last couple decades, hallelujah, things have gotten perverted, and people have focused on stuff, on what they can get by serving the Lord, and what they can get out of. Now it's what they can get away with and still serve the Lord. But it ain't about the stuff. It's about the territory. It's about the authority. See, when you understand the authority that you have, you've got revelation that no matter what or who is there, it belongs to you. And that's what God was trying to get to understand. He told Joshua that the battle was as good as over. The battle was as good as over. If you get that in your spirit when you wake up tomorrow morning, you wouldn't have the Monday blues. Come on. Because the battle is as good as over. You just got to trust the process, Joshua. Amen. God said it's just as good as over. See, 7 acres. You think 7 acres? Wow. That's not a lot. That's not very big. Because see, the size wasn't the issue. It was a formidable fortress city. It was fortified. It was literally almost, I said almost, impossible. It was impossible for man.
Come on, come on.
So you think 7 acres, golly, that's just not a lot. When you think about size. So it wasn't the size. See, everybody's like, oh, that giant, that's in my way.
Well,
we quit focusing on the size of the giant, the size of the mountain, the size of the battle, and realize it's just about authority. When you understand your position in the covenant of God, it doesn't matter how tall, how wide, how big, how fortified, amen, size isn't the issue. Hallelujah. It's about, hey, come on somebody, it's about taking over. It's about overcoming. Amen. Because here's the thing. Hallelujah. If they could defeat Jericho, hallelujah, they could defeat any enemy that was facing them in Canaan. Do you understand that this morning? If they could defeat Jericho, then they could face any enemy, amen, that would come against them in Canaan. Hallelujah. It was probably one of the smallest cities in the region. Hallelujah. But it was fortified. It was one of the most guarded and secured. Amen. Troops and armies. Can I say it like this? Demons and spirits and principalities and powers. Are you with me? Stationed. And the gate was especially, when you talk about a fortified city, hallelujah, they sat on the walls and the military post, that was common. But when you talk about a really fortified city, it's the gate. Amen. That's really, amen, extra guarded. Oh, you got to understand that. It was about hallelujah, out, amen, the territory. And so they see if they could overcome that, if they could defeat the fortification of Jericho, there wasn't any enemy. Amen. You understand that? God had to reveal to himself. Amen. And it's been, we were reminded again. I don't need to keep going back.
amen, to the amen to, with the messages. But it's what got us here this morning. It's why we're still here today. Come on, somebody. Do you hear me? I don't know about you, but I got revelation. Amen, through the Word of God. And that revelation has given me strategy. Amen. And then the Holy Ghost has revealed to me and you, before the enemy ever gets to us, what the enemy is trying to do.
Yeah, come on, man. Right. Come on now.
So they could overcome Jericho. Mm-hmm. Man, they could defeat that. See, God had a plan. Mm-hmm. But it made no military sense. God had a plan for them to defeat Jericho, but it made no sense in military understanding. And see, that's, we got to be careful not to try to think about God resolving the circumstances in our life the way that we're used to. Or the way that it has been. Are you with me? Because I don't know about you, but where I'm at right now and where this season has been, amen, and again, it's been confirmed, and I know there's a lot of you there, a lot of the people in the body of Christ were there, hallelujah. Amen, it is not making sense. Amen, it is not adding up. Amen, it is not, amen, looking like that God's hand is upon it. Hallelujah. And so see that the God's plan didn't make sense. Amen. That's not how, amen, you overtake a city. See, it depended on God, amen, and not strategy or military might. Amen. See, there's a lot that's taking place in 2024. There's a lot that's happened in the body of Christ. Amen. We spoke here, you remember, probably 2 years ago. Amen. And we felt in our spirit, and I shared with you how that I felt like the Lord was going to begin to expose and was going to begin to reveal, amen, some things, amen, in secret, some things, amen, that were causing God's people, amen, to be burdened, amen, and many of them didn't even realize they were being burdened. Hallelujah, but I'm telling you, amen, this year has become, amen, that time, amen, of that happening. God said, it ain't the way that you think it's going to be, but in my time, because you see, he said, I'm ready now. I'm ready now for you, amen, to rise up. And so he said to Israel, you done crossed over. Now I'm ready. I'm looking for somebody who's willing. If God's ready, you're willing to get ready, be ready, and stay ready. Hallelujah. Amen. The soldiers and the priests, see, it was not dependent on a man's strategy or military might, but it was dependent on obedience.
Yeah.
That's a scary word for a lot of folks. Because obedience means you willingly lay aside your flesh and your will, and you say, whatever you want, Lord. See, the soldiers and priests, God's plan was for the soldiers and the priests to march around the city. That was only half a mile walk around a 7-acre city. So, not really that big of a task. Are you with me? But see, there were two military strategies for defeating a strongly defended walled city. One of those was to attack by digging under the walls, or punching through the walls, or climbing over the walls. The other was to circle the city and launch a siege and wait for the city to surrender because of starvation and the lack of being able to resupply. So it didn't make any sense to march around the city and then walk away. because militarily you surrounded the city and you stayed there, forcing them to give up. But here they marched. God said, I want the priests, amen, and the soldiers to march around the city one time. He said, I want the priests to carry the ark, and I want them to carry trumpets, amen. And he promised that the walls would collapse. He promised that the walls would come down. How many knows that God has assured us, amen, that victory belongs to us. Victory belongs to his people. So it doesn't matter what walls you're facing. Again, it ain't about the size or about the fortitude of the walls. It's about you knowing, amen, who God is, who you are, and then being obedient until it happens. It's not the fact that will it happen. It's when is it going to happen. Until it happens, I'm going to stay the course. Until I see it, I'm going to stay. So he said, I want the priests to carry the ark. Seven of them. And he said, I want them to carry a shofar. Amen, a shofar. You see, amen, he promised that the walls would collapse. Now listen, this required a lot of faith. This was no common happening. This required a lot of faith. They had to remember the faithfulness of God in the past. Remember when just behind them the Jordan parted and they were able to go through. This generation, amen, all of them didn't see the Red Sea part, but they heard. Amen, you hear me? They had to remember the faithfulness of God. So this required great faith, amen, to assemble and march around, amen, the walls of that 7-acre city, amen, and then go back to their camp. It required the ability for the soldier to resist treating it like a military strategy. Can you imagine being a soldier and being told we're going to surround the city, but we're not going to stay there? Amen. We're going to surround the city, but you're going to go back to the camp. You're only going to do it one time for 6 days. When a soldier has watched, amen, the military strategy and how, amen, enemies are defeated, it's hard to sit back. Amen, it would be hard to say, you know what, I can't leave. I just can't do it. This don't make sense. This is making us look weak. This is making us look silly. See, when we think we know how God is going to work it out, when we think we know the next step that God is going to take us, when we think we know the results of what God is doing, because that's what we're used to seeing working. God said, I've got something, amen, that you have never seen of me before. Remember, it's about a deeper revelation. So the soldiers had to resist treating it like a military, because the priests were with them. We know what the priests represent. They represented the presence of the Lord. They represented the sanctity of God's presence. And so they renewed that march for 6 days. Then on the seventh day, they were going to march seven times around the city. We know that the number seven is the number of totality. It's the number of completion. It's the number of perfection in the scriptures. Amen. But I got to thinking about that. Amen. Praise the Lord. I was preparing for this message. Amen. That was one march for every acre. That was one time around for every acre. Hallelujah. Taking every bit of the territory that God had already given them. So he had informed the priests, amen, to take up the Ark of the Covenant. What was the Ark of the Covenant? It's God's Word and His presence. That's what the Ark of the Covenant was. Seven of them, amen, to take up, hallelujah, that, And then they were to carry a shofar with them. So it's the Levites, amen, they begin to take, amen, the ark. And then seven priests carry the shofar. Amen. You see, we have to go into the presence of the Lord with the authority. The priests have been sanctioned. Amen. The presence of the Lord. Listen. Help me, Lord. I don't want to be preaching this morning, amen. But we have taken the presence of the Lord so casually, amen, that we fail to realize the reverence. People have become so, amen, accustomed to doing things their own way in a certain way. Hallelujah, that they find themselves of doing things, amen, disrespecting the presence of the Lord. But listen, hallelujah, we got to go in the authority of the word and the presence of God. So when you go in, hallelujah, not on your title. God don't care about your title. Remember that was preached this week, this last week too. God's not concerned about whether you're an apostle or a bishop or a prophet or a preacher or a teacher or a rev. Amen. He's not concerned about all of those titles. And can I tell you, neither is the enemy. People get enamored by titles. Amen. And then they get taken advantage of. But let me tell you something. You go in, amen, to fight with the word and the authority. And when we go in under the word, and we go in under the authority of the Lord, yeah. That's when something is going to be different. Uh-huh. Yeah. He said, carrying with us a shofar. So they had to be bearing the ark in the presence of the Lord and carrying a shofar. So they had to carry a sound. But more importantly, a revelation.
Well.
See, because the sound of the shofar took them back to Mount Sinai. When the revelation of God came to the children of Israel, and there began to be the sound of trumpets, the sound of the shofar, and the voice of the Lord of God was like thunder. Amen. So that sound of the shofar was a revelation. Amen. It was there on Mount Sinai where God revealed himself and God told them of their destiny. So they carried with them that shofar. Hallelujah. And it was more than just a ram's horn. It was more, amen, than just, amen, a trumpet. It was a sound. Amen. And that sound meant revelation. And that revelation meant authority. Amen. Knowing that I don't belong here, but I belong there. I don't belong there, but I belong over here. Amen. So they carried with them a sound. Can I tell you, we've all got a sound. Hallelujah. Amen. And God's strategy made little sense. It made very little sense to march, amen, around. Now, understand that when they marched, amen, they weren't allowed to talk. They had to be silent. But the whole time they marched around that, about half a mile, if you will, amen, they were to blow the shofar. So they blew the shofar as they were marching around. Hallelujah, reminding Israel, reminding those who were left behind, reminding those who were still in the camp when they heard the sound of the shofar. Listen to me. Hallelujah. I believe they were reminded of who God was. They were reminded of what that sound, that was the first time that sound had been revealed to God's people at Mount Sinai. Amen. So they reminded them, we don't know what God's doing, but there's a sound that's coming. Hallelujah. From your obedience. Amen. That's declaring, I understand that this temporary place is not my destiny. This temporary place, being here in this season, being here in this battle, being here in this place, still the sound to remind you that God is in control. I was thinking about two or three who believe that God has got you right where He needs you to be. See, their response to obedience was without delay or a man resistance. They did not resist what Joshua said to do, and they did not delay. Can I tell you, that's where we have to be. If the Lord wakes you up at 2 o'clock in the morning and says, I need you to go to your prayer closet, you need to not delay or resist. Try to figure out what He's doing, but get there, amen, and respond accordingly. He may ask us to move. He may ask us to do. He may ask us to change some things. That's key. Their response to the obedience was without delay or resistance. Are you with me?
Yes.
And so each day they were to be silent except for the sound of the shofar. How many's ever been there? When you had so much to say, but God wouldn't let you say it. When there's things you could have said, but God said, be silent. But think about this. I've never thought about this before. Now, but think about as they were marching around the wall of Jericho. One time a day for 6 days. This gave them a close-up view of what they were up against. They got to freely examine the gates, the wall, the structure, and there wasn't anybody that could stop them or hinder them. No way would they have went up close for fear of being captured and seized. Now, they had the opportunity to get a clear view and a close-up view of the walls and how difficult this task was. Can you imagine? See, and thinking, man. See, I know some of you. You would have busted during that half-mile trek every day to say something to the person in front of you or behind you. Did you see that? Man. Sure, I'll know about this. Joshua did say the walls are going to... we're going to come down, right? So you'd be like, They had to be silent. But they got to see firsthand what they were up against. See, when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit will raise up a standard against the enemy. So it really put their faith to the test. And when they got back to the camp, I can imagine they were like, gosh, fellas, I don't know, that's pretty impossible. They got that city locked down. There's no getting to them. But they marched 6 days, one time. And then on the seventh day, God told them to march 7 times. I think it's interesting that they marched 7 days, which means they did so on the Sabbath. They marched on the Sabbath. See, God rested on the seventh day of creation. But on this seventh day, He's going to reveal His plan and His power. And so, man, they were breaking They were going against everything that they thought that they knew. Are you with me?
Yeah.
It'll happen. But on the seventh time marching, God told them, now you can make noise. So they're marching, blowing the shofar, marching around, and then on the seventh time around, God said, now you don't have to be silent. Now, with the sound of the shofar, they were to break their silence. Why were they allowed to shout? Because God had now given them the city.
Yeah.
Amen.
That's why they had permission to shout. God had given them the city, but the spoils belonged to God. So they weren't going in to take of the spoils. Now with the sound of the shofar, they could break their silence. So I want us to look at the word shout as it's used here in the Hebrew. It's the Hebrew word ruah. R-U-A. It's the Hebrew word ruah. Ruah means to mar by breaking. It means to slit the ears with such a loud sound. It means to raise a shout, to make a joyful noise. So ruah was all about joy, triumph, destroying, causing an alarm. This is a sound that is exclusive to God's covenant people. Only those who know him have a ruah, have a shout that will break, a shout that will sound an alarm, that will raise a shout. See, it's interesting if we look at verse 20 in chapter 6. It says, pull that back up for me, please. When the people shouted, and the priests blew the trumpets, and it came to pass. And when the people heard the sound of the trumpet, they shouted with a great shout. In fact, the wall fell down flat, so that the people went up into the city, every man straight before him, and took the city. They shouted with a great shout. That first word shout there is ruah. That second word there with a great shout is taruah. Now, those of us that remember, amen, our teaching on, amen, on the feast and on the shofar and different things about the shouts of the Lord, the word teruah ought to be familiar to you, amen. But teruah, so he said they will ruah with a teruah. So it's not the same form of the word. And we know that in the Hebrew, one word can mean, have several different, amen, meanings depending on how it's used, amen. So teruah in the Hebrew is the sound of alarm to an enemy that is of collective joy. And so it is a sound that is as a result of a collective, a group of people with joy, but it causes an alarm for the enemy. So we know the ruah is raising a shout by the individual or breaking the silence. And teruah, amen, is, amen, the sound that is an alarm after a group of people release their ruah. So the ruah creates a teruah. So the ruah, amen, in each individual in the group, which is breaking the silence, which is, amen, bringing, amen, a shout of joy. When you put that together, then that creates an alarm for the enemy, or letting the enemy know, amen, that there are a people, amen, who understand something in particular. See, here's the thing. The ruah is for the Lord to know that We have revelation, and we know who we are. The Ruah is to let the Lord know that we understand that no matter what it looks like, no matter what it sounds like, no matter what it feels like, no matter how alone that it seems I am, I have joy in you, because my hope is not in the circumstances. My hope is not in what people do or have done, but my hope is in who you are. So I give a ruah unto the Lord to let him know that I have revelation, amen, of who he is, and that no matter what happens, everything is going to be all right. Even though my whole life is turned upside down, even though it looks like my family is falling apart, even though it looks like that nothing is going to come back together, hallelujah, when I release my ruah, when I release a shout, and I break the silence, it is, amen, a sound of joy, and it's to let the Lord know. And so it's for him, the ruah is for him, but the teruah is for the enemy to know that we know who our God is, and we know that this battle is not ours, but it belongs to God. And so when you get two or three together and they break the silence and release the ruah, then it sounds an alarm in the spiritual atmosphere, that even though it looks like the enemy thinks that he's got, amen, you between a rock and a hard place, and he's got, see, all of that, hallelujah, that God says belongs to you, that territory, those, amen, the faithfulness of God, hallelujah, that lets the enemy know we're coming, we're not sitting back. I don't understand why things are happening right now in ministry like they are. I don't understand why this and why that, but I do know this, hallelujah, as Job said, though God slay me, yet will I trust him. Amen. Do you understand? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That the ruah is for the Lord, but the teruah is for the enemy. So when they, he said, bring that back, verse 20, please. So when they released their ruah, it was a great teruah, and it was not the ruah. Amen. The ruah broke the silence, but the teruah brought the wall down. Do you understand what I'm saying? Hallelujah. That means that the enemy had to let go of everything. Are you understanding me? God, it ain't your shout, hallelujah, that brings the victory. It's your revelation of who you are and who God is that causes the enemy to be defeated. Jesus, the Bible says, put his foot on the neck of Satan and made a public display of him. It's already been done. God's looking for somebody that understands you got a shout at you, and that shout will break the silence. But when we come together, amen, collectively, because we got joy even in the midst of sorrow, we ain't jumping and dancing because it's a Pentecostal thing to do. We ain't running and leaping and moving because it's a churchy thing to do. We ain't doing it because we got our emotions all up in high gear. We're doing it because we know who our God is. We don't shout because we have the victory.
Right.
Come on.
Yeah.
You say, well, wait a minute.
We never did.
We don't shout because we have the victory. We shout because we're God's people.
Amen. Hallelujah.
And that brings the victory.
Because
there's a lot of people shaking it and making it, moving it and grooving it in church this morning, but they don't know who God is. And it's not bringing them. See, we've done people an injustice. Listen, now you know, I've told you before, you know, I told you I was raised in, you know, what they call old school. My mom was old school. She, you know, I was taught that unless the Holy Ghost gets a hold of you and moves you, then you don't move. Well, Lord Jesus, there's some folk that the Holy Ghost could move if he showed up as a tidal wave. You know, I'm telling you the truth. But it's when I begin to develop my own relationship with the Lord and my own relationship with the Word that I realize that the Bible says that you leap for joy because of joy.
Right.
Listen. Listen, you can feel so down and messed up.
Sorry. Yeah.
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah.
That's right.
Unless you're dead, something good. So I learned that sometimes I gotta leap because of joy, not because I feel like it, or not because I see in mind the outcome, but because I know that the joy of the Lord is my strength. Hallelujah. So but when we've done folks an injustice by saying, if you shout, you're gonna have the victory. No. All of God's covenant people have a ruach. Amen. But when they release that ruach and break the silence, it's because they know who their God is. And if you know who your God is, then you know who you are in God. So then you release and break the silence. Then when you get, amen, a bunch of us together, hallelujah, and we're singing Jesus. When we were in service on Friday night under the tent, the last night, it did a bit now that I know what time it was when I asked. I promise it didn't feel like it was 10 to 11. I was like, what? But there came a moment during what we call the altar service. There came a moment when there was a sound that started to erupt. As I was standing at the end of that altar, and Brother Jay McHale started dancing. Better dance than I am, I'll tell you that. I told you, why not? Ain't a rhythm in me. You see me dance, it's the ruah in me. It's how my belt is, Lord, help us see it. You're depressed, you'll laugh then. But that dance started. Next thing you know, another one, and another one, and another one begin to dance. Some folks that probably thought, after they were done, what did I just do? And as I was standing there, now, there had been all kinds of sound and shouting and things happening under the tent all evening, right? But the Lord spoke to me, and he said, that's a ruah. they're not dancing to get victory. And he spoke to me, he said, I take delight when my people dance. Before they were dancing simply because of who God was. They weren't dancing to get any kind of victory. They weren't dancing to get any kind of answer. They weren't dancing to get any kind of breakthrough. They were dancing simply because he is God. And that's what led me to this message this morning. God said, that's a ruach. I was like, what? He said, that's a ruach. See, that's what David could dance and twirl. Stripped down. Because he was simply dancing because of who the Lord was. And when we are called to raise a shout and break the silence. And it's a ruah. And the understanding that when we realize what the ruah is, it creates a teruah, which is an alarm to the enemy. That's what brought the walls down. It wasn't their obedience. It wasn't the sound of the shofars. Because they'd been doing that for 6 days. And Jericho was familiar with that sound. They're like, oh, they've done horns again.
Yeah.
Some folk come here and sometimes like, what are they building that horn for? What are they building that so far? Because it's a sound that is a significant amen to the kingdom of God.
Amen.
It's one sound that the enemy can't mimic. In Lucifer, all of the sounds of those instruments are there except the sound of the shofar. So he can't mimic that. So that's why it's become a battle cry. That's why it became a sound that's exclusive to God's people. Everything operates on sound. I'll get into that. So there's a sound, see? When that sound, that ruah, is in response to who God is and not what he's doing, and even not what he can do, but simply because of who he is, and that I exclusively have that sound, that when it comes out of my call, my voice, call in the Hebrew, when it comes from my voice, and it breaks the silence, it creates an alarm in the enemy's camp. That's the sound that ought to be coming from Judah Tabernacle. When we come together, we're not shouting and rejoicing, and not declaring because of what God can do. It's great, it's good. I'm not saying that you don't, but that's wrong, because we do. Right? We shout for the victory. That's why we can shout ahead of time. Because the shout is about knowing who's in control. Not knowing, because at this point, I don't know what he's going to do. How's that? You know, as the old saying is, the Lord read my mail Friday. He went right in my house, right in the middle of the night. Amen. But it'd been nice to be the sad while he was at it. That's how I'm going to do it. But he didn't. just said that it was done. So what's left for me to do? Ruah. Break the silence. Break the silence. See, if they would have shouted sooner. Are you with me? So he said, so then they were blasting those shofars, and then, you know, they're thinking, oh, they're hanging out longer today. So going around again. 3.5 miles they had to walk. All right, 1, 2, 3. 3.5 miles they had to walk on the second day. And they're like, man, they're hanging out a little longer. But then on the seventh time, they let out a ruah, and it caused a teruah, and the walls fell flat. We know that what it means when it says the walls fell flat, hallelujah, when they broke their silence, the walls came down. That means they caved in at the foundation. They literally went down, amen, and they caved at the foundation. They weren't going to be rebuilt. They weren't going to be reestablished. We've got to have revelation of God. And this only comes not only by being in a place where truth is preached, where holiness is a standard, where truth lines up with the fruit and the actions. Are you with me? I'm talking about being perfect. I'm talking about the holiness and the fear of the Lord. And it lines up. Not only that, but revelation comes from you spending time in a secret place with the Lord. Because if you don't have revelation, then your ruah is just another sound. If you're shouting just because the preacher said shout, or because everybody else is doing it, or you're shouting because you want what God says you can have, if that's the only reason, it's just a sound to the enemy. But when you have a revelation of who God is, you really break the silence. Ruah means breaking. It's a breaking. Breaking the silence. That's when it turns into a teruah, and it becomes an alarm in the enemy's camp. This is why we're in this place that we are right now. Because gaining revelation. And in that strategy, say, okay, God, we'll just keep showing up. We'll just keep following through. We'll just keep doing. We'll do all that you say. And when we shout, it's because of who you are, not because of what you've done or what you can do for me. The walls, everything that's separated, they'll get ready to come to the music. Everything that's separated them from crossing over and going into came down. Some of you have walls that's been there for a long time. Can I tell you something? We say walls of Jericho, but the Bible says the wall of Jericho. That's one wall. And when that wall came down, they had access to everything. So some of you have a wall. I got up this morning. There's some folks here. You're in a place of spiritually perplexed. Have you ever served the Lord? Look, I'm about to hit 60. You hear me? He said, I'm hitting 60. 60 ain't hitting me.
All right now.
I'm hitting 60. I've been saved 44 years. Been in church all my life. Have you ever been in a place where you're just spiritually perplexed? I am so out of my comfort zone right now spiritually. I do remember the Lord saying that you thought you had it all figured out. You thought you knew the ins, the outs, the whats, the how. But God has came, interrupted that, and He's allowed everything that I thought was right to not be right enough. Shared on Friday, all summer, probably the last 4 months. Every day, I'm not a worrier. I get anxious more about my time than I do about something falling apart. So it brings me in the land together. God is in control. doesn't like me. I don't care what anybody else does. I gotta leave my seat and I gotta give a ruah. I gotta give a shout unto the Lord. Amen. And I, hallelujah, give the Lord. Amen. I receive that. Everything you knew, the thought you knew, has been disrupted, and you feel perplexed. I've come today to tell you that your God is coming to people. There's a sound in you that will set an alarm in the enemy's camp. It may look like it's falling apart, but when you know who God is, He's in control. You stand with me across this place. First and foremost, if you're here today, you're lost. You don't know the Lord. Backslidden, you've stepped out of covenant. I'm going to give you the opportunity to come right now. Give you the first opportunity to come to this altar. To say yes to the Lord. But if you're here today, this message has resonated with your spirit, pricked your heart. You said, preacher, that's me. I want you to come and I'm going to pray with you. It's time to break the silence. As they begin to worship.